Hey folks, Dr. Brian King here. Once again, on the road. This time I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I'm sitting over here in my hotel room. Got a view of the stratosphere out the window. Anyways, I'm here in Vegas and I'm hanging out with a friend that I haven't seen in a long time. Actually, I was really excited about catching up with her.
I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. Blues, women, and blues. I'm here.
Kamani is a comedian, maybe a former comedian. I like to think once you're a comedian, you're always a comedian, you know. But it has performed stand-up comedy, as far as I know, all over California. And another thing I wanted to talk to Kamani about is her incredible journey in losing weight. Weight loss has been an interest of mine for a while, and I'm really interested in learning about Kamani's journey. So welcome. Thank you, Kamani. Thanks for coming on my show.
Thanks for having me, Dr. B. I've missed you so much. It's so good to see you.
It is really good to see you, too. It is super good to see
you. I missed you.
You know, you have always been like just radiant of positivity.
Thank
you know
you.
It's like you had this when you were at your biggest point, when you're
well,
you
over know, 400,
you were just so cheerful and upbeat and positive and energetic, you know. It was amazing to me how infectious you were, and I loved your presence.
Thank you.
You know, we used to run this comedy show in San Francisco, and man, I just couldn't get enough of you on my stage. I mean, really, you were just fantastic.
Thank you so much.
It's really good to see you. How you been?
I've been really good. It's been tough. It hasn't been the easiest journey, but I'm much more wise. Than I used to be last time we talked. I'm definitely more emotionally mature.
Yeah,
and I see the proud doctor, psychology / friend / comedy papa.
Mm-hmm.
I see that you can tell.
Yeah.
And that makes me very happy because I've worked really hard. You know, I've been in therapy for years. And you have to do that when you've lost the amount of weight that I've lost. And I've been able to maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been the most difficult part. I am now my happiest I've ever been.
Yeah.
In this journey, I'm happy with my body. I think everything finally kind of leveled out because at one point I was really, really skinny on the top and still thick on the bottom. But now everything's leveled out, you know, because I did have some intervention because, you know, I do also have a lymphatic issue, the lymphedema, lipedema. And I was able to get definitely some body work done on my legs.
Yeah.
That really helped my heart. That really helped my cardiovascular and definitely my body. Just how it just functioned and how it decided to now be. And I really am very happy with everything. And I'm just have come full circle, and all the work that you do while you're in intense therapy. They told me one day, I was told, because I had, when you go through the kind of journey I've gone through, you kind of have a therapy team. it took a
Take
team.
A whole group.
It took a team. I was told that one day the healing will take place and you'll be able to talk about it without crying. The healing will take place and you'll be able to talk about it, and perhaps your journey will help somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
The healing will take place and you'll feel it. You'll be in the moment where you'll feel the work.
Mm-hmm.
And I am now not only feeling the work, Dr. B, but I'm living the work.
Oh, man, that's wonderful.
Yes.
It really is. It's so great. You know, now, you mentioned lymphedema.
Yeah.
You used to have, like, some growths.
Yeah, I had growths. You know, I had the lymphatic.
And you gave
growths.
Them names.
Yeah, I did. Oompa Loompa. At one point, one was Oompa Loompa, one was Tweedledee, Tweedledum. I mean, remember I named them.
Yeah.
I did name them.
Again, it's good attitude. I remember that. It's like... Now I never saw them, you know, you could see them through your clothing, the outlines, you know.
Yeah,
but,
you could.
But
yeah.
You had, there was kind of some
they're
large, some
they're
large
gone.
Growths. You know? No, they're all gone.
They're
you look
gone.
Good. You got regular legs.
I got regular legs.
You got nice shiny legs.
Thank
actually,
you. I'll put my glitter suit on.
You should do a pan of this outfit.
Yes.
Ooh. Whoa. You've done a remarkable journey.
Thank you.
And let me just say, when I met you, you're performing comedy and you under a stage name.
Yeah. Yes.
And the stage name was Queenie TT.
Queenie TT, comedian, right. Queenie TT.
Yeah. So what was that? What was the TT?
we always got to talk about the TT.
I got to talk about the TT, oh, man. You know I'm a TT person.
I know. The TT was what I'm sitting on, and it's tremendous too. It's a family nickname because I didn't really get the boobs. I got the face, I got the hips, and I got the butt in the family. Definitely, and the personality. And the spirituality, just natural spirituality, not forced. And so TT was a term of endearment given to me by my mom, and she called me Tremendous Tail, you know. And then because I would sit on like remote controls and combs and stuff, and we'd be looking for it, and they'd be like, come on here, are you sitting on it? I'm like, I don't think so, I don't feel nothing. And then I would stand up, and sure enough, it would be a remote control and a few other things underneath the TT. So, and then Queenie was my camp name because I've always was extremely bougie, and I was a fake Girl Scout at the Girl Scout camp that refused to hike, and I wouldn't do anything to mess anything up, but I was a lot of fun. So the camp counselors would let me get away with murder, and so Queenie, they named because I was such a queen, Queenie, and so I decided to put those together as my stage name.
And I still think of you as Queenie.
Many people do.
Yeah, you go by your given name now. Yeah. You go by both.
It depends on what you want to call me. And what I did was, I don't know if you can see the tattoo. There's a tattoo of a crown.
Yeah.
Because I carry Queenie with me.
Okay.
She'll never leave. But it depends upon who you are in my life, whatever. I go by both. And some people also call me Q, and that's fine. But now I am definitely a civilian. I am a special education teacher, elementary school teacher. Yeah. Next year I will be doing fifth, and I'm looking forward to that. Special education takes its toll. So I'm definitely going to take just a look.
Yeah.
Have a different type of class next year. I'm looking forward to it. But at this point, many students have what you call IEPs and need assistance, and so I will more than likely have a blended type of class.
I could see you being just a wonderful teacher.
No, oh, really, thank you.
Very, really good. Let's talk about the weight loss. So,
sure.
You mentioned you tipped over 400.
Oh yeah, my top was 465.
465. Wow.
And the skinniest.
Can you mention how tall you are?
I'm only 5 foot.
So that is a lot of weight for a 5 foot frame.
Yes.
That's a lot of weight. One would say it's tremendous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tremendous too.
That was a lot of booty.
That was
a whole bunch of butt at one point.
So, was that a lifelong progression towards that peak weight, or was
it was a combination of things at that point. I mean, I always dealt with weight issues as far as I can remember. When I was a small girl, for me, weight became an issue once like kind of puberty hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I went from being what we would call in African American community as just a thick young woman, or pleasingly plump, to definitely there's a weight problem.
We definitely know what thick means.
Yes, we do. And I am now thick. And my goal was to achieve thick, and I've done that, and I'm very happy about it. And so
my goal is to just get low enough to be overweight. No. I just want to be husky.
Which for a man is thick. We describe that as thick, and it is definitely cold, and
That's right. Big guys are warm in the sack. We may not have a lot of energy in the sack, but
it's just that nice warm mountain to climb.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
This is so much better than the first take. I'm just gonna reveal. We had a camera battery die, so I started again. This is far better.
Way better. Yeah. Way more relaxed. Oh God.
But so it was a progression, and then you got diagnosed, right?
Yes, properly diagnosed, and that proper diagnosis, unfortunately for me, was hundreds of pounds later.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely a heart issue presenting itself, and just the weight completely out of control. But with lymphedema, lipedema, you definitely have, you are dealing with inflammation. Mm-hmm. You are dealing with fluid weight. Yeah. So they do this wrapping when you're as large as I was once was, and you have to walk around in this very intricate wraps around mm-hmm. your body. And then that
is
helps.
Is it like compression?
Compression.
Just like squeezing the liquid out of you?
Literally, yes. Yeah. It's just squeezing that liquid out of your body, and you have to be elevated all the time. And it was very hard. The physical therapy was hard, and I was on a strict diet. Mm-hmm. And that 60 pounds, that 465, that 65 mm-hmm. dropped off. It was fluid.
Wow.
And it dropped off within like 2 months.
Really?
It just fell off.
Wow.
So when we met, I was 400.
Wow.
And so that's why you saw how agile I was.
Yeah, yeah, because you were. I mean, I believe me. I'm like, I know what it's like to lose 65
yeah,
pounds.
Yeah, so
it's
I
like,
thought I was scared.
Even though. Even though you're still 400, it's like, man, you have no idea how little I could move before.
And that's where all that, a lot of that joy came from, because what you guys didn't know was I created Queenie Titi for the whole purposes of being a woman I am right now.
Yeah.
And I already knew my plan. I knew what I had to do. And I knew that this journey was what it was. And I knew one day I'd have to say goodbye to her.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very difficult to say goodbye to that to that character I created. And I would put everything. That's why some of my shows were almost spiritual.
Yeah.
Shows, but they wasn't almost. They were.
Seeing you perform just really like it just it was one of those. You know, we'd laugh. We you know cheer. You know,
yeah.
It was just, it was
and
really
some
good.
People,
yeah.
Depending upon where I would go on the show, would get emotional. Sometimes I would, but it depended mm-hmm. on where we were on the journey together in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember tapping into something. I didn't even understand what I was really doing, but I understand it now that I am now the woman I am, and I'm definitely tapped into my spirituality in a greater way than I've ever been in my life. I understood what I was being used for,
mm-hmm.
and now I get what was happening
mm-hmm.
with me and my crowd, and we were communing, we were coming together and underneath one accord for the purposes of joy, empowerment, and release. And I had no idea that, you know, God that I believe in said that was a part of my journey, and I had no idea, but I know now.
Yeah.
And I'm I have nothing but gratitude for it.
That's awesome.
Because it was that give and take of that joy
mm-hmm.
factor and that that release and that feedback that saved my life.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, and gave me the purpose, gave me the fight. Because it was a fight, Dr.
Oh,
B.
Yeah, of course.
My surgeries and then the ones to reconstruct my legs,
mm-hmm.
that and I had difficulty there. I had one leg turned bad, and you know, I had some healing to do from that, because you know, sometimes those surgeries, because they're very tricky on people that don't have lymphedema, they're extremely tricky on us. We tend to unfortunately get infections, and I got several, and I almost lost one of my legs.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
When I talk about weight loss in my upcoming book, which is called Elf Bears and Weight Loss, by the way, you guys should totally get it when it comes out. No, but when I talk about weight loss, I really focus heavily on the behavioral component.
Yes.
You know, but in your case, it's not just behavioral change. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you had some medical conditions and stuff. Without going into a tremendous amount of detail, because I don't want to focus so much on the process.
Sure.
But how'd you get there? I mean, how'd you come down?
How did I come down?
Yeah.
Well, the first step was, it was a surrender for me. I had to surrender because for me, I had congestive heart failure. I mean, I was going into congestive heart failure. And there was a moment where my husband at the time, I told him to leave the room. My heart was enlarged. I felt myself ebbing. I felt my soul being able to make a choice, but by making that choice, it would require the lifestyle change you just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a quiet moment at that point. They were working on me, and I was able to go to that place a spiritual people can go, where it's just you and God. And they didn't know what I was doing in there. And I said, okay, God, it was low self-esteem. It was complete lack of faith in you and lack of faith in myself that got me here. I said, but if you give me, I'll tell you, I will change my life, and with the gift that you give me, I will help to change other people's lives for the better with your power, if you allow.
Mm-hmm.
It was within 8 hours, things turned around. I was heart started to go down. They gave me those really powerful water pills. I was getting up, and first I had to, you know, I couldn't get up, and then I was able to start to get up, and I was just my body just started draining. And eight hours later, I walked out that hospital, and I have been. And now I think I was baptized then as Queenie Titi, but I'm gonna say I've been Queenie Titi slash Kamani ever since.
And then of course, the surgeries and other therapies and so forth, you know, it helps you calm down. But
it was that surrender.
Yeah,
that was step one. Mm-hmm. And from there, we got the diagnosis. You know, we went back, and I was diagnosed properly with a really bad thyroid. Stuff, you know, thyroid was going. Thyroid, I already had thyroid disease, but it was completely out of whack at that point because I just wasn't taking care of myself. So my thyroid was completely out of control. Also, I did have lymphedema, lipedema. What is that? We figured out what that was, and I really needed to get some weight off. At that point, I was too large to even have any type of weight loss surgery, but it was definitely being considered. So prior to me getting weight loss surgery, I lost a significant amount of weight. Then I got on the table.
You know, there's an incredible irony that happens in the human body where obviously exercise is important to help us lose weight. Mm-hmm. But if we accumulate so much weight, we just can't exercise. Mm-hmm. Like, I physically have a difficult time moving around and, you know, don't get any value. Yes. I remember when I hit 400, I would try to exercise and I would just get winded and it would hurt and my joints would get inflamed, you know, like there was no way. It was just not going to happen, you know.
What I had to do, because my legs were so encumbered and they were so encumbered that they had developed large tumors. You know, they caught their swollen lymph nodes, like tumors, benign at that point, thank God. I chair exercised. Mm-hmm. I can move my upper body. I've always been able to move. You watch any Queenie Titi sizes, of any size I was, because I was all sizes, I was busting moves. So,
nice.
I was putting some stank.
I like the
on it.
Chair exercises. It's a great
I mean, we would do this. I mean, my physical therapist said chair exercise, and once she gave me that freedom, like once she gave me that knowledge, I found every type of, at that point we still had DVDs of AJ Muscle, we had DVDs, and I found every kind of DVD that was chair exercise. I was doing Tai Chi in the chair. I was doing belly dance in the chair. I was hip hop chair dance. I mean, anything I could find, Ms. Marshall, we even call me Queenie, I was doing it.
I'll just do curls sitting in a chair, you know.
Any movement, and that you don't have to do go crazy. I know all these fitness people are there and they're, you know, out there promoting all these amazing fitness feats. You can get there one day or close to it one day, but start somewhere. And then from there, I was able to do short walks. And then from there, it just kind of took off from there. Then I was able just to do like low impact aerobics. And it went from there.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if this relates to the lymphedema or the retaining water, but I think it does. So one of the things I talk about in my book is that when I hit the top of my weight, my legs got swollen and my feet got swollen, right? Like I remember, like I'm wearing cowboy boots right now. I couldn't put my cowboy boots on, for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then I had shoes that had laces and I couldn't get them on my feet, and it was a struggle. I actually bought like large shoes with like a Velcro, they looked ugly as hell, but they were also functional because you gotta take off your shoes when you go through the airports and things, so there was multiple reasons. But I went into a doctor at Sarah's urging, and the doctor was examining my legs, we were looking if I needed compression socks, and he asked me if my legs leak.
Yes.
And I was like, what do you mean, leak? Like they can leak?
Yes,
what
does they
that
can
mean?
Leak.
And so was that lymphedema?
Yes.
I
had that.
No, you had that?
Sometimes my legs would be so full of fluid, they would actually leak.
Wow.
And then from there, if you don't take care of that, you don't go immediately and get some help, that leak can turn into an infection. An infection can turn into a staph infection and get in your blood, and you could die.
Yeah, see, that freaked me out. Mm-hmm. When a guy says, do your legs leak, mm-hmm. That was one of those moments where I'm like, holy crap, mm-hmm. what is wrong with me? Mm-hmm. You know?
So at that point, you had edema. You had edema
mm-hmm.
from excess weight, or maybe you had something else going on with that too. And that is a form of edema, but I have a lymphatic system that does not function correctly. It's much better mm-hmm. since I've had all sorts of interventions, but I don't process fluid around my body correctly. My lymphatic system does not function like yours or mm-hmm. somebody that doesn't have it.
Right.
So I just have a predisposition to accumulate
yeah.
fluid. So I have to always watch it.
Mm.
Always, it's tough.
It sucks because mm-hmm. it's like something you have to deal with for the rest of your life, or so.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
but you know that is life.
It is life.
I mean, I think about, I can't eat, anything I want like I used to or whatever. I never could. I just did, and those were the bad choices.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's not like I used to be able to eat crazy or drink crazy, but no, it's just I did and I suffered the consequences.
Right.
And doctor asked me if my legs leak.
Yes.
That's what happens. I got, hey, you got leaky legs. Such a weird thing. If they called it leaky leg syndrome, I feel like it would scare more people. Really.
Yes.
I would, because I was freaked out, man. Like, how does it leak? Is it like a hole just opens up, or what the hell, man? Like, that was weird. It was very weird. So I remember that. So I wonder. You know, I always wondered if that was like, if I was in the beginning stages of,
it's possible.
So you've shrunk.
Yes. Significantly.
And you look amazing,
Thank
too.
Thank you.
What I really like to do, and what I did for my book, is I talked about like how weight loss has affected your life.
Oh,
and before we talk about that, though,
sure.
I don't want to ask you how much you weigh, because I know you don't ask ladies that.
How much
have you lost?
Well, I've lost over 300.
Wow.
And then I've maintained it. But I've put on a little weight. I put on about 10 pounds.
Yeah.
It was 10 pounds I wanted to put on. That 10 pounds is muscle. So mm-hmm. At one point I was looking rather gaunt mm-hmm. Across the face, and to the point people thought something was wrong with me, like up here and right here, and which is a typical extreme weight loss look.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you put on a little bit more just to even yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
But how has this changed your life? I mean, really. I mean, I kind of have a feeling, but I wanted to mm-hmm. hear from you.
Well, I'm much healthier so far as I know. God willing, I will live to be an old lady. And that, which at one point was not promised to me.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, if I was even to be the age that I am right now, which I'm very proud. I'm a very proud of 47, will be 48 in August. I think I think I'm aging well. I'm very happy mm-hmm. to be the age that I am, because I didn't think I'd make it at one point. So, some of my, I think, graceful aging is because I definitely still have a youthful disposition, because my trauma from this started to happen in my mid to late 20s.
Yeah.
So I think I kind of always will be stuck there. And that's not a really bad place to be in some ways. But so healthy, yes. This is the part where I had to definitely get therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I was angry at one point. Because I was angry at how different I was treated.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Because while I've always been an attractive woman, I was a large black woman.
Mm-hmm.
And now I am an average-sized black woman. And the dynamics between the two have been amazing. And I was very angry at how shallow people can be.
Mm.
Yeah. And how,
you're not the first person to tell me that.
No, yes. Very shallow.
It's interesting because... So let's say hypothetically that mm-hmm. we want to lose weight because we want to be more attractive to other people.
True.
You know, it's like that's a reasonable
that's
goal for
reasonable.
A lot of people. You know, but on the flip side of that is that in the process of losing weight, we become mm-hmm. more attractive, and we mm-hmm. see like, well, wait, why didn't you like me before?
Right.
Why didn't you act?
And that
before?
Was the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
The amount of my comedy brothers that have attempted to date, or I did date. I'm not gonna say who. I'm just saying. And I went out with everybody, because at first it was kind of exciting. But then I kind of thought about it. I was like, wait, you knew me before, but also I was married before too.
Yeah.
So
is that confound?
Yeah, I don't know.
So, I'm sorry your relationship didn't survive, but I'm very glad you survived.
Thank you.
And that's the important
thing.
That's right. It really is. You are, you said you've been dating a lot.
Yes, I've been dating. Then.
And what is dating like as a newly thin? Well, you're not newly.
No, I'm not newly thin. I've been this way now for a while.
Yeah, but you know when you first came out into the world as the new Kamani, you know, what was that like?
It was very exciting and fun. I didn't quite know what to do because I would look one way in my clothes and look completely different naked. Looking better naked now, but not as much as I would like to. I'd still want to get some more work done, and stuff is expensive as hell. And I'm like, you know, I haven't even bought a fucking house yet. So I'm just like, girl, do I want these great big juicy titties or do I want a house?
To be honest, the titties could help pay for a house. That's what I'm saying. This is Las Vegas.
Yeah. I mean, I got a great face and a great ass, so I should get some tits to match. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But at first it was strange because I thought I was all that a bag of chips because I had lost all this weight, and then I didn't even realize that it would be different for a lover to see me one way. So I had to adjust to that. So I had to figure out a way to let them know.
Yeah. So before the clothes come off, you'd be like, hey, I just want to tell you, I lost a lot of weight. Yeah.
And then the average guy, you know what? They didn't care.
Yeah.
And then once they saw, because I had scars from the legs, and then they would see, I'm getting very graphic right now, but they would see the scar, and then we like, and they realize all of what I've gone through as a woman, they're like, you know, I've been really putting on you.
That's great.
I'm just one that put that out there for women, because that is a concern when we think that we can't enjoy men and men won't enjoy you until you get everything done. Mm-hmm. I don't have everything done. It looks kind of like I do, but I don't. I've done a lot of exercise and a lot of weightlifting and, you know, done many of the... but the vitamins and things like that is much, I'm still not perfect naked. I don't care, I'm perfect to me. And I think because I have that confidence and natural sexiness, I'm in that bitch, I'm throwing it down. So it doesn't matter. So that part, I had to grow into that, because at one point I was with a partner, off and on. That I think it might have been an issue for him.
Yeah.
And I unfortunately fell in love with this person, but I was like, if it's an issue for you, donate. fundraise.
That's right,
you
know? Put up a GoFundMe.
It's an issue for you, it was his issue. I realized that's your issue because I have all these other options. Yeah. And I have since have had some healthy relationships. I'm dating now a particular person, and it may or may not work, but I'm not really, it's hard for me to commit right now because I do have a trust issue, Dr. B. And unfortunately younger men tend to like me for some reason, I don't know why, and that for me, you know, I automatically don't understand why they do. So that's where I'm at right now. I keep attracting men much younger than me, and I'm just like, where they're fun, but you know, I'm just like, you know, I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around that, but apparently I probably need to let it go.
What have you been able to do as a thinner person that you always wanted to do and couldn't do when you were heavier?
So much stuff, you know. One of the things that I was really able to do that I wasn't able to do before is climb several steps, flights of stairs, and not be breathless. Also, shop wherever I want to shop, and I could just buy like one airplane seat. And you know, ride roller coasters and things again. Buy clothes, really, for me, just go in and buy like a pair of stockings. I do wear compression because of my lymphedema, but sometimes I still want some just regular tight. Sometimes I can get a regular tight and wear it not periodically, stuff like that. I can everything is I don't like to say the word normal, because normal is not the best word, but access. Mm-hmm. I have more access. And the other thing for me was less time at the hospital. Like, I have a life. I have a life.
You mentioned airplanes. You know, mm-hmm. I've been enjoying this for a while, but it's been a while since I've flown. And today, when I got on the plane to come to Vegas, I put my seatbelt on.
Yes.
You're probably familiar with this. There was a point where you would, before you would even try to connect it, you would make sure the buckle is all the way at the end of this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then you're like, get it all ready and just ready. You know, went on perfect. I had slack. I had, like, it was loose. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yes. And I used to have to get like a seatbelt extender.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I used to get a seatbelt extender. And I just would try to, because you don't want to have the discussion. So yeah. I got so good. Before I even would get back there, I would stop and be like, I need a seatbelt extender. And they'd be like, we got you. You know, it was always, they knew that you. Everybody and their mama didn't even know you needed the seatbelt extension, even though they probably knew, but I mean, do we have to announce it?
That was something that really creeped up on me too, because I remember sitting, I would always it would be tight, but I'd be able to do the seatbelt, and then eventually I just couldn't do it. And, that just crept up on me. But yeah, now flying here today, it was just a nice little personal victory. You know what I mean? I'm just sitting there on the plane, the woman next to me doesn't know anything, and I'm just like, I grab my seatbelt and I'm all prepared to just have to struggle like I used to, but it clicks and I got room and I'm like, hey, this is great.
I regained so much independence. I didn't have to be dependent on anybody else. The other thing too, I was so large, because not just a large one, but I had the leg issue. I stopped being able to drive. Mm-hmm. So once all the healing began to take place and I was able to drive again, I was gone. But if you actually get to know me, and you get to know me as a woman and as one time a survivor, but definitely now I have graduated to thriver, you understand why I have the confidence and the swag and the power and the passion and the sensuality, sexuality, all in one little body. You'll get it. Yeah. You won't necessarily be intimidated by it. And that's something that is, I think, an extreme weight loss person will have. Mm-hmm. And I know I still am trying to learn how to navigate this size. And it takes time. Yeah. Yes.
I got one more question, and then we'll move on.
Sure.
But we're in Vegas, right?
Yes.
You've been living here for a few years.
Yes.
I've been here for a couple of hours, and I already want to eat and drink everything that there is.
Yes.
How does somebody manage temptation in this city?
Stay away from the strip. For me, if I definitely get on a scale every day. I definitely look at myself. I'm very, very strict with how far I'll go. Mm-hmm. I give myself a certain window, and then I'm like, all right, girl, get it together. We always have that, and self-care. I lost some self-care because I got so caught up in my teaching, but I'm like, oh no, I got it back. And so I think it's because when you go so extreme, to as large as I once was, and I fought so hard, that keeps me on the straight and narrow. I know that for me to go back also is a death sentence, and I love my life.
That's great.
I love my life.
Fantastic.
And so that's enough motivation to stay away from certain things, or just moderation.
Yeah,
moderation.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
Good to see you. I appreciate
it. Good to see you.
Yeah, thank you so much
for this
little interview with me. And folks, those of you who are listening or watching, thank you so much for following along. This has been another episode of On the Road with Dr. Brian. Thanks.
I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. Blues, women, and blues. I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. I'm an asshole. I'm